Let's turn together in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, and we will be reading the first seven verses, which is here, the choosing of the seven who will later be called the deacons within the church. Acts chapter 6, that's found on page 1061, Acts chapter 6, just the first seven verses. Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables or to serve tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is a deacon, and what are they called to do? Last week we began our short series on the officers of the church. We looked at the elder and their role last week, that the elders are called to be faithful in discipling and disciplining, bringing the word of God to God's people. This week we're going to look at their fellow laborers who are called the deacons. It was nice last week that we had all of our office bearers sitting in front of you so we could easily acknowledge them, we could identify them, we could see that God had appointed them and set them before us as a congregation. However, when we look at these two distinct offices, we must remember that their work is not identical. Although they are both ordained and installed by God within the church for the good of God's people, their role is not identical. Elders, for example, are to be able to teach as given the requirements of an elder in 1 Timothy 3, while the deacons are not told, as we read earlier, that they need to be able to teach. So there is a distinction in their work. Their work is distinct, and it requires different gifts and abilities. Both elders and deacons and their work are indispensable within the church. Both elders and deacons represent the love of Christ, displaying his mercy to the congregation by way of their work and by way of their words, but their work is not identical. So today we're going to see that the office of deacon proves Christ's continued care for his people. Therefore, deacons and the deacons of our church must be mindful and diligent within their high calling. If the elders are to prepare us for the day of Jesus' return, if it's the elders' responsibility to see to it that as a church we are growing in grace and knowledge of the truth, that we are maturing, that we are going on to that solid food, that we are loving God's word and growing in maturity in that word, the deacons then serve to encourage us as we wait for the day of Christ's appearing. We start in our first point by looking at the etymology of this office and the term deacon. The term deacon, as we read earlier in Acts, is simply diakone. Diakone sounds very similar to our word deacon. And the word diakone means a servant or one who serves. A diakone or a deacon would be a servant in a household whose responsibility it would be to carry the food, to put the food on the table, and even to wash the feet of those who are entering into the house. Being this kind of servant is not a glamorous job. It is a job that clearly emulates the humility of God's people in serving as Christ serves. It is a priestly function where they are putting the needs of others before their own, seeking to be a blessing to God's people. And that's the image that we found in our text, if you still have your Bibles open, from Acts chapter 6. Here, after the gospel has gone forth clearly, the word is being presented, God has been adding thousands of members to this early New Testament church. And as this church dramatically grows, there is a problem. Some of the widows within the church are being overlooked. There is a division between the widows who speak the native tongue of the land and those who do not. And there is a grievance. Some of the widows are being overlooked. It's a growing pain of the early church. There is a need that is not being met. It's also important to note that it is not a lack of fund that is the problem. You remember when in the early church, there would be wealthy landowners. They would sell their land. They would bring all that money, their possessions, and lay it at the feet of the apostles for the good of the church, and particularly to meet the needs of those who were widows. So it's not a lack of money. It's a lack of manpower. The apostles simply cannot keep up with the need and the variety of need in this very large church in the early New Testament. We also have to keep in mind that during this day and age, these widows who had joined the church were more than likely extremely alone and vulnerable. Becoming a Christian often meant that your ties with the rest of your family would be cut off. You would not have the support of your children. There's no government agency to support you, and they are, being more than likely older, not able to provide for themselves. So without the government agency, without the ability themselves, and without the support of their family, there is a real pressing danger that these widows are not going to be provided for, and the sheer amount of work is overwhelming for the apostles. So in verse 4 we find that in order to free up the apostles' time, the church is encouraged to appoint deacons, or literally table servers, so that no one would be neglected. The apostles need to continue their work in praying and the ministry of the word, and the deacons would carry out the work of doing this work of ministering to the needs of the widows and providing food for those who were hungry and needy. So in this we find that already in the early church in Acts chapter 6, there is a division of labor, which is evident later on in 1 Timothy and in Titus as well, where the elders are called to be faithful in teaching, discipleship, education of those members within the congregation. They're dealing primarily with the word. Their function is to be diligent in discipleship and discipline, where the deacons are to focus on the comfort, encouragement, and provision of the poor and widows within their community, and particularly within their church. So you could say that the elders' primary focus is the ministry of the word, followed by deed, where the deacons' primary focus was deed, followed by word. There is a different focus in that way, making sure that no one was overlooked. And the context for the first diaconate was the need of that local church, because some people were being overlooked. Their task, the reason that the elders, that the deacons were here ordained, is to free up the apostles to do the work that they are called to do. The work that they were here called to do, the elders take up the mantle today, which is that ministry of the word. So here we find that both elders and deacons are engaged in spiritual labor, but the diaconate and their installation frees up the elders to do their own work more consistently. One purpose that they have is this: the existence of the deacons is to preserve and protect the church's calling to bring the word in season and out of season. So the public means of grace, those public means of grace are being protected, and that's why the diaconate is so important. The work that the deacons do, it encourages and enables the pastor and the elders to be more faithful and consistent in their work. So there is a division of labor in that way. their work that the deacons do is not in competition or undermining in any way the work of the elders, but it is a complement to their fellow council members. They open the leaders, or they enable the leaders to be leaders, and they therefore are co-laborers in this work. The deacon's work is primarily a focus on the physical, but it is also spiritual in nature. Deacons must never be viewed as simply bean counters or money men or the managers of the local church in the finance department only. It is a spiritual office, a spiritual office in which they are representing Christ, his hands, the ministry of blessing or the ministry of mercy, seeking to show compassion from Jesus in a tangible way. In Acts 6, they were, yes, first and foremost, to serve tables, our passage says, distributing food and money to the widows who were in need. But when we find the qualifications, we find in verse 3 that they are to be filled with the Spirit and to be men of great wisdom. We find the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 3. They are to hold fast the mystery of the faith, proving themselves blameless. Our form from installation that we read last week puts it this way. Deacons are to humbly and cheerfully collect and distribute the gifts of God's people. And in the relief of the distressed, they are encouraging in both kind deeds and kind words of comfort and encouragement from the Scriptures. In other words, although the deacon's primary function rose in the context of a physical need, that does not mean that their work is only dealing with physical concerns. We find the same thing with when they are going to, for example, the widows or those who are poor, they are to bring not only physical assets, but spiritual assets. They're to read the word with them. They're to pray with those who are discouraged. So deacons in this way desire to be a friend to the friendless, a companion of the despised, even a father, brother, or son to those who are all alone. Poverty and pain take different forms in our world. So the deacons are called to be wise, they're to be diligent, and they're to be observant. And they're trying to reflect the care that Christ has for his people and the care that the church has for other people as well. Listen to what James 1 verse 27 says. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So thus far in our first point, we have looked at the need, or the context in which the diaconate arose, which was their work is to protect the elders and pastors so that the work of the elders and pastors continues unhindered. Their work is a spiritual work and a physical work. But moving on in this first point, let's get practical. What does that look like? What should a diaconate, or what should a deacon be committed to? What should we as a church expect from the deacons of our church? Well, the first thing that we should expect from our deacons is that they are faithful in overseeing and delegating. One of their first responsibilities is to organize which offerings are being collected for and to make sure that as a church we are supporting good Christian ministries. They are setting before us a list. These are good ministries that should be supporting. Which ones have specific needs that should be supported by the funds that God has entrusted to us? So they are directing the attention of us as a congregation to good Christian ministries, saying these are things that are that should be supported with our tithes and with our offerings. But their work is more than simply managing and overseeing. They are also to set an example of mercy. They are called individually to show God's love for the body and soul of those who are suffering within the local context. In our local church, we call this the work of the benevolence. Listen to what Romans 12 verse 8 says. We all have various gifts that differ according to the grace God has given to us. So the one who has the gift of contribution, let him give generously. If someone has the calling toward acts of mercy, let him do so cheerfully. So the deacons within a local church are called to give generously and to work cheerfully in their work of being a blessing to those who are in need. For example, with the widows, those who are afflicted, the poor, making sure that these are not neglected. Thirdly, deacons can be depended on, relied upon for good godly advice, direction, and encouragement. The deacons give practical help. For example, giving rides to church or helping someone getting to a doctor's appointment. They help in budgeting. They help in bill payment. In all these things, they are seeking to be a benefit to the needs of those within that local church, showing the love of Jesus in both deed and also with words. So they come to encourage. They read scripture and they pray with those who are discouraged. So to summarize our first point, our deacons are called to be faithful stewards. Stewards of not only their own gifts of mercy and talents that God has given to them, but also stewards of the talents and gifts of us as a congregation as a whole, knowing that they will have to give an account to Jesus how they managed not only their own talents, but the talents of our church as a whole. Have our deacons been faithful in visiting and faithful in distributing and encouraging and in praying? And now we also know that as it was with the elders, this work is very hard. And what makes the work of the diaconate particularly difficult is that people in their pride refuse to display their need. People who are hurting don't let other people know that they are hurting. That's why it calls for great sensitivity, that you are constantly looking out and considering the needs of those within the church. It's very rare for someone to call a deacon up and say, "Hey, I'm suffering. I have a need." The deacons have to have their ears to the ground, if you will, to look out, to hear, to be conscious of the unspoken needs within the context. It's kind of interesting that I heard by way of the grapevine that some of the women within our church were rejoicing last week that they weren't called to be elders. So I want to spend just a few minutes focusing on the benefit of godly women, right? We read this earlier in our reading from Titus. And speaking to the work of a deacon, in the same breath, Paul goes on to say, their wives must be, etc., etc., etc. Deacons, your godly wives are a great asset. I can speak from personal experience. My wife has pointed things out in the lives of members within the church that I never saw. It didn't even occur to me. Our godly women within our church and godly wives can be a great help, an asset, in helping you as a deacon to see the needs that are here unspoken within the church. But not only the wives of the deacons, women as a whole in our church are a great asset to the ministry of mercy that our deacons are committed to. I said earlier that our deacons are called to stewardship. Deacons, you are stewards of the gifts of the godly women within this church. Making meals for the sick, or helping out those who are just had a baby, or whatever the need might be. Deacons, you are stewards of the gifts of and abilities and loving concern and mercy of the women within this church. So deacons, we are called to know our flock, to know the needs of our flock, and not only those who have physical, but those who also have financial, emotional strain. For example, someone has a new child. As a deacon, are we reaching out to someone who has a new child? How is this welcoming this little one into the home? How has that changed your finances? How has that changed your relationship as a husband and wife? A sickness in a family not only means a loss of wage, but it also has a great strain on the family. A death. Loss of a job. All these things are real pressing concerns for the diaconate as they're looking out, concerned not just with the widows, but for anyone in our church who is suffering in this way. In this way, they seek to see to it that wounds are being bound, that injuries are being addressed. And for those who serve well, finally, 1 Timothy 3 says, these gain a good standing for themselves and great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. In this service, deacons, you are emulating the service of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus uses the same term to describe himself. Jesus calls himself a deacon. I came not to be served, but to diaconate. Right? That's what Mark 10 says. Jesus says, I came to serve. I came to be a blessing, a benefit to those who are my body and my bride. So as deacons, you are emulating, you're following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the perfect deacon. As we move on now to our second point, we are going to look at what is our responsibility. How are we to respond to the work, this very important spiritual work of our deacons? What is our responsibility towards them? And here we can be very brief. The first thing, our first responsibility of a congregation towards the work of the deacons is to support them. To make sure that they have enough equipment that we are supplying them so that they can do the work that they are called to do. For example, an application would be, as a church, we must be very generous with our tithes and offerings. The early church had an abundance of finance that the deacons could use to meet the needs of the widows and those who are distressed. They would sell land and they'd lay the proceeds at the feet of the apostles, and that in that way, it was making sure that no one was being overlooked and no one went hungry. For us as a congregation, that means we must be very generous with our tithes and offerings so that the needs of our church, the benevolence within our church, the needs of the poor and the widows within our church, in our community, and in the broader church world as a whole, that these things are being met. And I can be very grateful that as a church we have been very generous, and I'm thankful to God that we as a church have a very giving heart, and that's a thing to be thankful to God for. 1 Timothy 6 verse 18 says, do good and be rich in good works. Be generous and ready to share. So we are to be overflowing with our acts of kindness, but even in how we give and how we use our blessings, we are called to cheerful giving. Cheerful giving or cheerful service means that we're not only thankful for the opportunity we have to write our tithe check or our offering check, but when a deacon calls upon you and says, hey, there's a need in the church, and I believe you have a talent, you have a gift that can be used in this manner, we are cheerful to use our gifts. We're not afraid to get our hands dirty when the deacons call us and say, hey, can you help out here? We're happy, we're cheerful to help. And thirdly, we are called as a congregation to be humble. Humble enough to ask for help. If the deacons do not know that you have a need, or perhaps you know of a need of someone else within our congregation, please be humble enough to reach out and be willing to ask. If you are sorrowful, if you are distressed, if you're discouraged, if you're overworked or overwhelmed, don't be too proud to reach out for help from our deacons. Our deacons are willing and able. They want to help. So give them the opportunity to be a blessing from Christ to you. And finally, we should be grateful. Not only grateful when we receive blessings from the hand of Christ from our deacons, but grateful for the fact that God has given to us deacons. We should be thankful for the fact that Christ has given to us this wonderful office which represents the love and mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ. As 1 Peter 4 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve and to minister. Literally it says to diaconate to one another. That's something we're all called to do, is to be faithful in serving one another as Christ has lovingly served us. To conclude, when we look at our church order, the first work of the minister, elder, and deacon is that of prayer. So office bearers, elders, deacons, pray. Pray for those within your district. Pray for those in your communities, particularly as deacons. Pray for the poor, pray for the needy, pray for the widows within our congregation. Pray for the ministries that we support as a congregation. Pray that Christ would give you wisdom to see the needs. Pray that Christ would equip you and equip our church so that we can meet the needs, seeking to do good to all, and especially the household of faith. And as a congregation, pray for your deacons. pray for them in their very important and often unseen work. The deacons often work behind the scene. They're not asking for recognition. They're not asking to be identified, but they are faithfully and diligently being good stewards of the tithes and offerings and talents that we have received and that we entrust to them. So pray that the Lord would give them wisdom and that they would be able to do the work that God sets before them. As Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, God is not so unjust to overlook your work and your love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints as you still do. Let us all, as God's people, seek to have a servant-like heart, a diaconate heart that seeks to be a blessing, to use our gifts, to bring joy and encouragement and comfort to those who are suffering the consequences of living in a fallen world. Let the mind of Christ, the chief deacon, be in your hearts as well. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we have, that you have given to us, that you have shown us through Christ what mercy looks like. Blessed are those who are merciful, for to these will be shown mercy. We do pray, Lord, that as we think of our deacons this morning, that you would equip them for the work that you have called them to perform, that they would be faithful as they discharge their office. Give them wisdom to see the needs. We pray that they would be equipped, that they would be supplied so that they can meet those needs. We pray that you would enable them to do the work that they are called to do cheerfully and diligently for the honor and glory of your name and for the good of your people. May we as a church faithfully support our deacons. May we pray for our deacons, and may you, O Lord, continue to see, to show, to display to this world that the world would be able to say, behold, look how they love one another. That this would be a witness to the world, showing the world that we are living not for ourselves, but we are living for Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.